Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry.
I am so excited because today with Inbal, because I have learned so much from her, but I wanted to have her introduce herself so you can get to know her, and then we're going to dive right in. So Inbal, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. And I am so thrilled to have been invited to your show because I feel I'll start with who I am. My name is Inbal, as Dr. Caroline said, and for the past 22 years and a bit, I've been a full-time, legitimate, self-employed psychic and witch. Yes, it is a job. And the reason I'm so excited is really because within the kind of new entrepreneurial world of social media and ladies turning their passion into a livelihood and turning ideas into jobs that didn't used to exist, I feel like I came to the party a little bit late because I don't really like social media. I don't really like the intensity and invasiveness of it. But I feel like what I do bring to the table is, you know, those 20 years of experience from before. And I kind of find it hard to see where I fit into that conversation. So coming in through the front door into your morning cup is so flattering to me on a personal level. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for being here. It's always such a pleasure to talk with you, but the fact that you are such a wealth of knowledge and over 20 years of experience, just let alone, is massive. But I think too, there is that issue with social media of like what we put out there and having to navigate that. But it's so important to see different perspectives from entrepreneurship, especially for what you do, because I don't think it's talked about enough. And people sometimes have misconceptions about it as well, or there's myths out there. And that's why I wanted to address it full on and like have your perspective of what you do and to share it with everyone else as well, because I think it's so important. But with that being said, I would love for you to dive a little bit more into what you do and like your, I know it's 20 years is a long time, over 20 years, but what do you do? How do you help people with tarot, especially because I'm so fascinated by it. Like I love it. Just because it also, I don't know, I feel like it's confirms things I've been thinking or feeling, but being able to really dive into that. So I would love for you to share with everybody too, like what exactly you do.
Thank you. So I'm a tarot reader primarily. That's my first and foremost thing because I am passionate about tarot as a system and about the individual cards and how they kind of relate to our lives. I feel that the tarot is a magical tool, or if you don't see yourself as a magical person, the tarot is a tool to connect between your conscious mind and your very deep subconscious. When you read a tarot card, it might have all sorts of meanings that are in all the books, but the way that I like to read a tarot card is to tune into it intuitively. And in the same way that anyone with any kind of psychic ability or lack thereof will walk into a room and maybe sense that people were arguing, no one's saying anything and no one's looking at anyone funny, but you can tell that maybe people have just been arguing, or you get somewhere and you feel a lot of excitement because there's just been an exciting announcement taking place. So I feel that the tarot is kind of a shorthand way to connect with that part of your brain that knows all the stuff that you're not really supposed to know. And as much as I feel like our generation, flattering myself by saying our generation, because my generation and your generation might be a few years apart, but the kind of collective consciousness of the 21st century had perhaps stepped away from mainstream worship, from mainstream religions, but at the same time, really embraced spirituality and the unseen, and not just how we can find out stuff, but even more importantly, how we can influence stuff. And this is where we open the door to affirmations and to manifesting and into taking whoever needs to come out of a situation, to come out of an oppressive environment, and to step into their own light and to step into their own truth and to live life by their own boundaries and on their own terms. For me, that's all connected. And the tarot is, for me, just a very distilled way of cataloging all of that magic. Or, you know, you don't have to call it magic if it sounds a little too freaky, but I really believe in miracles. I really believe in magic, and I like to share that belief, because I think that when you believe in magic, magic believes right back in you.
Oh, I love that.
Thank you.
It's just so empowering too, because, you know, I think you brought up such a good point with the unconsciousness and how sometimes it's within us, but it's finding the right words or hearing it from a different perspective. But I do think it's psychology. It does open up the door to affirmations, and it's what we believe sometimes, and we can manifest things if we put our mind to it, but it's that psychological factor that if we don't believe in it, or we stop it, or it's just past experiences where we're like, well, no, this can't be true. Even if it could potentially be based off of the energy that we're bringing at that time too, just like we were saying, like you might've sensed a fight right before, but like, because subconsciously our body like feels it, I think, before we can even vocalize it. I don't know if you agree with that, but I know that's like how I feel.
100%. I don't know enough about psychology to know exactly where those things correlate, but I know enough about people to know that those things definitely do. And when you really believe that something is intended for you, and when you really feel deserving of the abundance or success or validation that you might seek from an employer or a partner, when you step into that sphere, really feeling like you belong there and you're standing there, legs apart, you know, like a statue from ancient Greece, you will draw that kind of attention to you, because you won't accept any alternatives. And it's something that I like to share with people, because I really believe it works for everyone. Now, obviously, the tarot is, or really should be, a super inclusive practice. It can't exclude anybody. And so we can open the conversation about what about people that were brought up in a marginalized environment? How do we get them to believe in themselves and to see that they are deserving? What about people that grew up in households that reiterated them again and again that they will never amount to anything? I feel that the tarot has a pathway for each person. So I can sit with you as a human being and say, I am sure that you can find exactly what you're looking for. And you'll think, okay, but within my, you know, frame of reference, it doesn't really exist. Or I can go into the tarot, which takes me outside of my own frame of reference and enters yours. And I'll be able to see that according to how you view life, you have perhaps a fear of people laughing at you, or the way that you observe human interactions. Maybe you have a trepidation of doing something that appears too big because you don't want anyone to see you as too big for your boots. And then the tarot helps me meet you where you're at. And then the guidance that comes to you will be different to what I would advise you as, you know, as a regular person. But like I said, I think, you know, it obviously for somebody like yourself that understands psychology and the human psyche in a very profound way, that journey can be, you know, very well facilitated by your education and empathy. The tarot, like I said, is just shorthand. It's a shortcut to get exactly to where you're going without acquiring too much knowledge along the way.
Yeah, but you know, I think like also to bringing up the fact that with how in psychology you go to school, all that and training, but I think with tarot too, it's like what you're saying, a pathway. And it's also, it takes you out of yourself, because I think sometimes people might assume that, oh, it's her opinion or his opinion or whoever is doing it, but it's really taking yourself out of that and putting yourself in that energy with them to understand it and to navigate them based off of what tarot is saying. So I think that's like a really deciding factor too, or like a differentiation, I would say.
And a big part of learning the tarot is actually learning to remove yourself from the equation and having big conversation with your ego that says, you know, that you've got to say, no, you get to go on the other side of the door. And when I was a young tarot reader, I would very rarely read friends, and even more rarely make friends with the people who were my clients. And I think that came to from a certain immaturity, because if I gave you my advice as a friend, I don't want then the tarot to come and, you know, ruin my word and say, oh no, a different way is better, and vice versa. And now that I am slightly more mature, I find it much easier to read for my friends and also to befriend people that I read for, because I know that the different voices are different. Mm-hmm. And I can say, well, I think that this mortgage looks much, much better, but let's ask the cards whether this mortgage with slightly better terms and a longer, you know, I know, sorry, it's such a boring example, but it can't all be, it can't all be like love and everything. And then the tarot will tell you, you know, either this or that. A good friend of mine from high school will sort of message me throughout the day and, you know, just as friends. And she says, oh, the men I meet are terrible. Only ever meet married men and so on. And I know she's going to watch it. Sorry for using it as an example. And I'm not saying names. I did go to a very big high school. And when I'm reading it, it triggers me because I think, well, that is negative and, you know, you've got to be positive and everything. But when we sit down and I do a reading for her, it's totally different. And she says, only meet married men and they're no good for me. And the tarot will say to her, well, actually, that is part of your journey. And this is how you're learning to set boundaries in place so that when you meet the right person for you, he will honor your boundaries because, and blah, 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 not to reveal too much, but the ability to relate to a person, to each person in two different ways as a reader and as, you know, as a regular person from the street is, and I don't know how to explain it, but is so satisfying. There's something so, I don't know, meaty about being able to kind of put myself to one side. There you go, you know, regular in Bal, go take a break. You like coffee, go have coffee. Now in Bal, the reader is coming in and she is wise.
You're both wise in different ways, but no,
totally different way.
But I think that's great though, that you're able to separate it. And because I'm curious, how old were you when you had started reading tarot?
Right. So I started reading tarot when I was 20 years old in 1994. I lived in Greece at the time. And in Greece, you're giggling because in 1994 you were learning the alphabet.
a little further
down the line. And I was 20 and it was the first experience I had of anything spiritual. I come from a hugely unspiritual background. Mm. Wake up at 6 a.m., at work at 7 a.m., work all the time. Afterwards comes family time. That was how my whole family operated. That's how they still operate. So I started reading at 20. And then when I was 25, a series of bizarre coincidences had conspired to just push me towards doing it full time. And it's very frightening. I was 25. I wasn't even in my own country. I wasn't even speaking my own language. I'm from Israel and I was living in London at the time. So I've got no background, national insurance, you know, if like the money stopped coming. So no background. I had 1 month's rent set aside, which I thought was super mature of me, but 1 month.
Better than none.
That's exactly what I thought. And since I was 25, that has been my job. And somehow it worked. And it worked because I gave myself no options. All I had was a month's rent. So I had to make it work. Yeah. And it did.
I mean, that's like the pure definition of success, a successful entrepreneur, I think, where you are pushed up against the wall, you don't have any other options, and you just make it work, and just getting continuing to be creative and getting in that mode of, okay, this is the option, especially not coming from a background of maybe entrepreneurs, because I'm similar too. I didn't come from a background of entrepreneurs, but it's so interesting that usually most people aren't. They're the first in their family. A lot of are, but like I would say majority are not. And the fact that you've been able to do that successfully, and I know you're in the media a lot too, like you've written or been in a lot of articles I've seen in media as well. And you talk a lot about love and relationships, and especially with, I'm a firm believer in self-love and just really fostering relationships and communication. What have you seen, at least with tarot, like reading different people, what maybe is a common theme that comes up around relationships? I'm curious. If there
it,
is.
It is exactly that self-love thing, because so often I hear, what does he feel for me? What does he think about me? Or, you know, flip way, what does she think about me? What does she feel for me? And I'll go through that. You know, I don't want to get annoyed right at the start, but maybe a few minutes in, I'll say, don't you want to see how you feel about that person? Because I say to people that look for love that one of the most important things in finding Mr. Right or Ms. Right is knowing how to say goodbye to Mr. Wrong or Ms. Wrong. If you don't clear the path for the right person to come in, they're not gonna. It'll be too complicated for them. So when somebody's in a relationship that is clearly not honoring them, and they want to know how the other person feels for them, because they're not saying it, they're not showing it, and they might even be showing or saying the opposite. And you come to me to find out, I'd say maybe 10-15%, it's because those people really struggle with saying and showing. And in that case, you got to ask them, say, do you love me? Like in Fiddler on the Roof. Yeah. Do you love me?
Yeah.
I cry at that bit like a toddler. Because I think that's so heartfelt. Yeah. Do you love me? It's a simple yes, no question.
Absolutely.
Ask. If you still don't have any proof from the person they feel for you, look within and see how you feel for them. Is it love that you're feeling? Is it the habit? Is it the smarting pain of having someone indifferent to your affection and to your attention. So for me, probably the most common question is, how does he feel for me? And sorry, I just did a little smile because I'm thinking, well, that's something that has been different for me since social media, because now I get a lot more work questions. I say social media, also the economic downturn, but you know. Maybe one caused the other.
You never know.
Now there's a lot more, I guess, people, and by people, I mean women. I think more than two-thirds of my customer base are women. It's women who want to know how their finances will go moving forward, what advice I've got for them. In terms of work, one of the best questions that people don't ask, but I jump in and ask it for them, is, am I best suited to being an employee or self-employed or business owner? Because that's kind of the trinity. There might be some gray areas there, but that's a question that I feel a lot more people should ask, because being self-employed and being a business owner, like you said, it's not for everybody.
Yeah.
And maybe being an employee is 100% fine, and we get into the entrepreneurial groove because it sounds so awesome to not have a boss. First of all, if you're just at the start of your journey, a little message there from me: when you're self-employed, everybody's your boss. So think about that.
That's true. That's very true. I learned that the hard way.
Exactly. And also, no sick pay, no maternity pay, and you have to sort out your own pension. But, you know, but that's pretty much the only downside. But looking at whether you're better off as an employee, which would be right for a lot of people, as self-employed, which has always been great for me, or as a business owner, some people are just so good at arranging and managing everyone and having their team do this and that, you know, their team do that and buying and selling and just kind of being in charge and having like that big vision. Mm-hmm. So some people are amazing at that. So for me, that would be kind of the, you know, the opener question for business.
Well, and I think too, it's being able to like navigate it. And I feel like, do you ever, like, even if the cards aren't saying anything right then and there, when you're asking the questions, do you intuitively, like what you were saying with the employed, self-employed business owner, do you get like questions, or do you ask like without them asking you those questions?
And yes, I'm a very collaborative reader. So you ask me your questions, I'll answer them, and then I'll be, wait. I've got different ways of looking at that, because I don't know, so because I liked sciences when I was a child, or because I was in the army. So I've got a very organized way of thinking. And when we look at different options, I also want to look at other, like you would if you're in a lab. So just yesterday, I'm sitting with one of my ladies who I mentor. So she is sorting her life out, but also learning how to read. And she was looking at two options, and then she thought of a third option. And then I said, take one for none of the above. Take option D, secret option D. And what was really interesting is mm-hmm. that we got a negative card for none of the above. So it means don't worry about none of the above, because one of the three options you're looking at is definitely the right one. Mm-hmm. So taking a none of the options card to compare with actually gives you extra insight. I like to throw in my own questions, because that's when kind of regular person me comes into the conversation, because I think, well, you don't want to get up from off my desk before we covered all the different options. You don't want to have sat here for an hour mm-hmm. and left some, you know, a little bit uncovered. No, let's, you know, let's go through everything.
I love it. I'm like, I need a reading. I need to book you.
I'm always available.
see that, everyone? She's always available. As long as you schedule it. But no, I'm so excited because I do think it's just so great to hear different information and how, like, different options too, because sometimes we might be so stuck in a situation and not seeing maybe the whole perspective, or like there might be a great option that we just have no idea about because we're so focused on this like door that keeps closing and it's not opening up when there's three other options or two other options or a hidden one. But I think that's like the beauty of it. It just gives you a different perspective, and it's being able to trust yourself, but also giving yourself a different lens. And I always say that because I think too, we can't get pigeonholed in certain aspects, and being able to broaden our horizons and just learning something new, because that's how we grow and evolve, especially as entrepreneurs, we're always evolving and growing. And it's just a different way to look at it.
But, and I think what's interesting in this, you know, this wonderful new world that we have, that anyone can be anything, is that there are a lot of options. So you want to narrow them down to the options that will benefit you, to the options that will suit you, to the options that will make you happy, and also to the options that will be great for you in the long run, because it is a marathon. It's a long run game. And I feel like the tarot is fabulous in that. First of all, there's 78 cards. So if you have 79 ideas of different things that you want to do, we'll just shuffle again later. But usually I think 78 would be enough. So we look at all the different options, and what you've got is not just yeses and nos. Each card has a whole world in it. So let's say, really off the top of my head, what can be a problem that I'm thinking about at the moment? There's a school issue with my youngest child. We've got a lawyer on the case. So I'm just saying to myself, what do I need to know about it? This is live right now. What do I need to know about it? And this is the Hanged Man. Sounds scary, but no, it's all right. The Hanged Man, as you can see, he's hanging by the foot. So no one is dying here. He's not hanging by the neck. And he is chilling. He's only hanging by the one foot. So the Hanged Man comes when things are stuck. What we've also got here is a coiled snake hibernating. So it says nothing is going on at the moment. Nothing is moving at the moment. Which is true. The lawyer we hired cannot believe how my local authority will just ignore all her emails. I know England is a very special place with bureaucracy. But what's interesting in this card is that when things finally start to move, we've got the Ankh symbol, which is the key of life. It's the ancient Egyptian symbol for luck and for the kind of the pathway. So this is just from one tiny card. This is literally the message I need right now. It's stuck at the moment. It's fine that it's stuck. No one is dying. Again, it's true. He's, you know, there's a school issue, but the little boy is fine. So, you know, so as mummy, I can handle this. But when it starts moving, all the luck is going to be in absolute free flow for us. So when you look at questions with, say, a combination of three cards, when you look at relationships, I like to look at a relationship with a 12 card spread. The way that the cards then relate, so you've got messages in each card, but then the way that they relate to one another is very unique and individual. So you'd have 12 different messages there, and then all the connections between them would be 12 squared. Is that right? Any math boffins there?
Not so me. So that's psychology is my thing.
Different half of the brain. But yeah, I think if we've got the first card relating to the second, relating to the third, it's either 12 squared or 12 squared divided by 2 plus 12. It is one or the other, but it is a lot, is what yes. I'm saying, that there will be a lot of information there. And whether you believe that the information is actually there, or whether you're a total disbeliever, and you just feel that this gives you an extra perspective to think from, it doesn't really matter. If it works, it works. And, you know, a lot of times in like media interviews, you know, they have to be fair, which means asking difficult questions from people in alternative religions, but not necessarily asking difficult questions from people in mainstream religions. But, you know, that's how it goes. And I get asked, what do you say to people who don't believe in what you do? And I say nothing. Nothing. It's not up to me to prescribe what's right for you to believe and what's wrong for you to believe. If you don't believe what I do, you don't come to me for a reading, or you come to me for a reading just to figure out how it all works. Because I came from a skeptical background, and a lot of my tarot buddies came from skeptical backgrounds as well. It's no it's no exclusion for you to not be within this kind of life and to come and have a look. I've got clients who are doctors, I've got clients who are solicitors, and literally like the entire rainbow of backgrounds, ages, genders, and, you know, nationalities. It's fine for everyone. Everyone is welcome. The insight that you can receive doesn't belong to one specific section of society anymore.
No, it's true. It's very true. And so I do want, I'm starting this new thing where I want to ask a question for everybody at the, well, Tara, I'll ask you later. For the entrepreneurship journey, what would you say was the biggest challenge for you on your journey?
Right. I think coming up with new ideas is always daunting in two ways. First, when stuff isn't working, and then the pressure of having to come up with something new. What do I come up with? What do I launch? So it's scary when nothing is working. But the flip side of it is when things are working and you still can't rest on your laurels because the world changes and you change and grow as an entrepreneur, as a self-employed person, as a business owner, and you still have to innovate just to keep up with yourself and to keep up with what's going on. And I don't think of myself as a creative person by nature, but I kind of had to train myself into becoming a more creative person so that I can step away from the routine, whether it's a routine that works or a routine that doesn't work. You've got to step away from it and allow yourself a bit of creative time to invent new avenues, new ways that you're going to present yourself, new ways that you'll make your stuff fit a changing world, a new platform, a new atmosphere. And it's something that I'm actually really experiencing at the moment. I don't know if you've been following, but I have been copied on Instagram a lot.
Much.
A lot. I've had about 10 copycat accounts per week for the past 9 months. So I'm thinking maybe it's a sign.
It is.
Maybe it's a sign. Maybe feeling very comfortable within the Instagram platform is not the long-term strategy. And I have built a beautiful brand that I'm so proud of on Instagram.
Yes.
And now I had to take myself out of that and think differently. So I'm still very present on Instagram, but I started thinking, what do I need to do? And one of my aunties, I've got a very creative auntie who teaches laughter yoga. She goes into hospices and teaches people to laugh. I know, she's so awesome.
That's amazing.
And she's also a clown and a living statue. She really is living the dream. Sagittarius. And when she came to visit me here two and a bit years ago, she brought me a little notebook as a present, and that was my creative notebook. So when I drag myself out for a day off, which is harder than it sounds, I drag myself out for a day off and buy myself a coffee outside of the house and people watch. I sit down with that. Sorry, I'm looking at my handbag because I know that the notebook is at the bottom of the handbag where it has been for over 2 years. And I fish out the notebook and I look at previous notes I'd written and I write a little bit. And I'm not a very big journaler, but that creativity is something that I connect to with writing. And then when I run a lot. And when I run alone, that also gives me creative time to think. But for me, that's the hardest thing within entrepreneurship, that you're not just following a script, but you're writing the script. It's the hardest thing and the most beautiful thing about it.
I love how you put that. I think that's so spot on, because it is true. Like when you go from employee mindset to entrepreneur, it was very challenging for me. I know it's been challenging for other people too, but it's recognizing that you are writing that script, like what you're saying. And I think that was just so beautifully put, because it's true. There is no transcript. Like, you are writing that transcript.
Yeah. And what you're doing is not very likely something that has been done before. I know that when I came into the tarot reading world, first of all, there was nothing like that on TV. And I've always had aspirations towards TV because I thought that's where it belongs. It's such a beautiful, colorful thing. It needs a screen. But I had no TV background. There were no tarot readers on TV at the time. And most people that worked giving tarot readings were people who had retired from regular jobs. It was people 40, 50 years older than me. So I was 25 and everybody else sitting around the psychic fair tables were much, much older. And so I had to innovate for a whole generation. And it was not 4 months before I found myself on TV by some weird coincidence. And it was 4 years later that I started working on what was to become the first interactive psychic TV show on UK Sky TV, where people would ring up into the studio to receive readings. And I think that show, even though it was very small, it had a viewership of a few tens of thousands, it probably had the same viewership as your YouTube. But that was on a fully legitimate TV channel. So it was a tiny viewership for something that was, it was digital at the time when there was still terrestrial TV. And I feel like that tiny channel has made a huge difference, because psychics weren't a thing that you talk about and never see. Psychics weren't a thing that was just a plot point in a book that you're reading. Psychics were suddenly in your living room. You could turn the channel and see them right there. Look at them. They look like regular people. I wonder what they do in their real jobs. No, dude, that is the real job. And so it had to be created pretty much from scratch. And through the channel, all of a sudden, by then I was 30. But other people who were 22 and 25 came on, and it was suddenly something that you could do. And I feel like what's going on within the entrepreneurial world right now kind of correlates to that, because business coaches were very few and far between. You would get corporate business mentors, but you wouldn't get somebody that works with an entrepreneur and helps them dispel the myths and get over the fears and jump forward. I think there's a lot of jobs that weren't even a thing 20 years ago and are a thing now. And so all of those people, all of those communities are creating something out of nothing. And that is beautiful to me.
It is. It just shows how we're all evolving and really being able to go on our own journeys, but stepping into that power, stepping in and aligning ourselves with our true purpose and our soul purpose and everything along those lines as well. So I do want to ask you, I mean, I feel like I could continue to talk to you and I want to, but I know time is precious. So I just want, last question is, where can people find you so they can connect with you? So please let us know. I'll add it to the links below as well.
Thank you. So I am the easiest person to find online, as long as you're not getting a copycat, as long as you're getting me. If you Google my name, you will find me. Inbal.com is me. Inbal@hotmail.com, also. PayPal.me/Inbal, also me. I'm Inbal on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. I'm kind of on Twitter. Ish. I'm on there, but I'm not very active there. And I have promised myself that I am launching a TikTok, a tarot TikTok. And if you would like to see me at the start of my way and on my very first TV show and then on my very second TV show, and keep up with lessons that I do and meditations and stuff, I've got a whole YouTube. I've got a YouTube that I'm so proud of, because it has loads of like old interviews, and it is lovely for me to kind of look back and think how crazy it was that I did it all when I was like 20 nothing.
Oh, you're inspirational. I'm so honored to have you on today. So thank you so much, Inbal, for being here, for sharing your story, sharing your knowledge, and just really educating everyone on tarot and what it is and meaning behind it, and just being maybe open-minded to it. Make sure you follow Inbal on all her journey. It's amazing. Thank you so much.